weary and burdened. Any of you guys feel a little wearied or burdened? You know, it's easy to feel that way. You know, we have work to take care of. We have families to take care of. Businesses to be in part of. You know, health issue possibly. Parents to take care of. Across the board, if we start thinking about all the things that we are responsible for, we can become weary and burdened. We feel like Cora there, just hanging on and hanging on. And it's not so bad if you're just a little bit over the ground, but sometimes we think about the many different things that would happen if we didn't get to that place or we didn't do that. And we start getting so burdened that the only thing we can think about is hanging on, and we lose sight sometimes of even why we're doing it. And I think that these would be good verses for me. I sort of planned them out for myself. I probably could have just stayed back in my office and read these notes to me again and again, but I hope that you get something out of it as well. Especially as we go into this season, a season where we're supposed to be celebrating the birth of our Savior, but somehow or other, we as a society have packed so much into one month that we forget about why we're even doing this. We get so busy, so hurried, and everything else. We got office parties, we got Christmas parties, we got Christmas programs, we got all these things, and we get so weary with all these things that we forget about the reason that we're doing them. And in the process, we cannot think about anything else except for the burden and the things that weary us. So I picked these verses today for myself. And this is from Matthew 11, 25 through 30. And this is part of Jesus' teaching, and he's talking about woe to the unrepentant city. He's talking about judgment and everything else. And then he comes to these verses. And I want you to listen to these verses and understand that God's word is intended for each one of us, that I want you to imagine Jesus pulling you aside, Rick, and looking at you and sharing these verses with you. You know, Mark, that God's going, here, I've got this for you. I want you to hear this. Sketty, that this is what I want to share with you. Jesus, one-on-one, wants to share these verses. This is for each one of you guys as individuals. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, as we look at these words today, we pray that we would understand that you are telling us to fall into your arms. Lord, that you want us to come to you and bring all these burdens to you. Lord, that you care about us, and we don't need to be stressed out about things. We can come to the God who is in charge of all things. Help us to be able to put things in perspective. Help us to be able to place them in view of eternity. Lord, in order that we could be the people that you'd want us to be, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll tell you, part of the reason for this message, too, is walking through some things with my big brother, Fred. Many of you know he had open heart surgery a little over a week ago. You wouldn't know it. He's sitting here just that way, just wonderful. And what God has done in his life over the last couple years has been just absolutely amazing to me. To watch him and Jan go through all these things that would be horribly burdensome to so many of us. I sat in that room, and I know I'm breaking every HIPAA law here, and I don't care because I'm not going to be fired as a nurse or a doctor. I sat in that room before he went off for surgery, and we talk about the peace of God. We talk about giving it over to God, and a lot of times it's lip service only. But I sat there, and I've been in that room before with people, and I watched his blood pressure, and I watched his pulse. Never once did I see his pulse go over 60 beats per minute. This is minutes before he goes off for surgery. Never once did I see it go over 120 over 80, his blood pressure. It was solid. He was truly at peace. He said he got a little bit nervous when he got in the operating room and all these people with masks are climbing all over him. But here he is on the verge of going in for major surgery, and he has a peace. You know, this is what we need to have in this world. No matter the chaos going on around us, no matter the political scene or whatever else, that we can keep this momentum, we can keep this nice, even keel of peace, because we know that God has us. That when we let go, that God is going to grab us. You know, I see these verses and I break them up into three things. First of all, Jesus is talking. And when he talks, first of all, in a prayer to his Father. And he says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. In Isaiah 55, 9, it says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are your ways than my ways, and in your thoughts and my thoughts, declares the Lord. What we see here is Jesus is recognizing his Father as a ruler over all things. And in order for us to find peace with God, we have to recognize who God is. Do we believe that God is in control of all things? Do we believe that God can do whatever he wants? Because when we start thinking that, we understand that it's okay to let go. Now, if I was hanging on that pole this morning, and we had a couple monsters holding it in the air, and Cora was underneath me, and Cora said, Eric, fall, I'll catch you. What are you looking at, Mitchell? Why'd you make that face? Did you just imagine Cora just getting crushed up here? It wouldn't do me much good if the person that I was counting on catching me was smaller than me or even the same size as me. So it's interesting that Jesus goes ahead and starts by recognizing who God is. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you are Lord of all things, and I recognize that. Before we can come to God and seek him for help, we have to understand that he is a God who can help us. This is why it's so important for us to come daily and be still before God, recognizing who he is. And when we start recognizing who God is, we understand that he is a God who can do what he says he's going to do. He says, I'll take care of you. We can trust that he'll take care of you because he is God. You know, I don't want you to think of God as somebody that you is the same as you or in the same level as you. As we see in that Isaiah passage, he is higher, his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts than our thoughts, because he's God and we are not. You see the difference? God, us. God, Eric. Big, puny. Well, compared to God. Kevin, you don't need to smile like that, okay? Seriously. I'll find some baking soda and I'll shove it in your mouth. John, in John 3, John the Baptist says, he must increase and I must decrease. And us decreasing isn't us getting small and feeling useless. It's just recognizing how great God is. When he says, I must decrease, basically he's saying, I must remain who I am, but understand how big God is. And that's who God is. When we recognize ourselves to importance and ourselves as important and disregard God, it's called pride. When we look at it as we can do it, I can be in charge, I can handle this in my life, I can take care of that, that is a source of pride. And pride, we all know, if you look through the Word of God, is sin. So when we think that we can do it on our own and we try to do it on our own, it's pride and it's sin, and we have to treat it like every other sin. We have to recognize that and confess it and ask God to forgive us. Then we have to take it in perspective. And I would say this is perspective is do not take yourself too seriously. It says here in verse 25b through 26, you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. He revealed the truth to little children. Cody never thought once about what he had to do this morning. Those of you who have little kids didn't have to think once about it. They don't worry about how you're going to get to grandparents over Christmas. They don't worry about those type of things because they know that you have them taken care of. We have the same type of father that wants to take care of those things for us, but when we take them on ourselves, we're going to worry. But we need to just learn to give them over to God and say, God, you are in control. Help me, Lord. Come, Lord, I trust you to be able to help me through this tough situation. We have to understand when we think we can do it without the help of God, it's pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, one of the first jobs I had where I had some leadership was Leanne Shins. And I was working in her deli once and the things were going well. And she came and pulled me and my brothers aside who were helping her open this one up. She told us, and I never forget this line, she said, boys, you guys are valuable, but you're not irreplaceable. And I thought, that was a good lesson to learn as a kid. I had value in the company, but I wasn't irreplaceable. If I started to think of myself as better than I should, that's pride. And we need to continuously keep ourselves in check compared to who God is. And our lives, and once we start taking over things, once we think that we can be in control of them, that's a source of pride. We need to continue to measure ourselves according to God. Yes, he loves you, you're valuable. But you know what? I understand in ministry that I'm not irreplaceable. That God wants to go ahead and use us. That if we choose not to do something we think we can do, Arrow, he can move us aside. He'll put somebody else in that spot to be blessed. God wants to bless you. God doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us. To me, it's like parents when your kids are helping you with something. You know, I love when I come home sometimes and I see Melody, my granddaughter, baking with my wife. You know, she should be able to get done twice as fast, don't you think, with that help? She should. She's got extra help. No, it's ridiculous. It's just she enjoys spending time with her granddaughter. It's a beautiful image, and Melody thinks she's making something, and when she's done, she takes a cookie and says, I made this for you. We realize that she didn't do that, but she was involved. That's what God wants to do to us, involve us. But the second we start taking it over, guess what? We're going to mess up. And that's the message when he talks about here, that all these things have been hidden from the wise and learned and revealed to the little children. All things, it continues here in verse 27, all things been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Even in his earthly state, Jesus did not take the fact, didn't always put everything on him. He still needed God the Father because he was part humanity. So he never trusted himself fully. He always turned back to God. And I think what a wonderful picture. If that's what Jesus did while he was on earth, how much more we need to look to God to help us for all these different situations. Romans 12:3, I have verses I need to continuously remember. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has distributed to each one of you. We need to make sure that we do not think of ourselves as too important, that we do not take ourselves too seriously. Guess what? I'm here to tell you that the world would continue if you didn't. And sometimes when we start taking ourselves too seriously, we start taking on burdens that we were never meant to carry, and then we become stressed, and that's when we start falling apart. I'll tell you, Fred and Jan, you guys have been an inspiration to me to see how God has worked in your lives, just letting God take things one at a time, going, God, here you go. I don't know how we're going to do this. And has God been faithful so far? Has he let you fall yet? No, he's been there to grab you every time. And that's what God promises to us. Corrie Ten Boom, I love to quote her. The quote of the day from Corrie Ten Boom says, look to the world and be distressed. Look to yourself and be depressed. Look to Jesus and be at rest. There's your three options. Look to the world and be distressed. Look to yourself and be depressed. Or look to Jesus and be at rest. And that's the word we come to now, that rest in God that he offers to us. Rest, the definition to cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. Heather, you need a little rest this morning? You need a little time to collect your thoughts? Jared, things going on, you need a little rest in your life? I know my wife and some of the things she's going through the gallery. You need a little rest now? Please get some rest. You being up at 2 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock is driving me crazy. I'm praying for your rest so I can have rest. But how many of us don't rest well? We worry about things. We're up, we're moving along things when we just say, here you go, God. Fall into the arms of God. Trust him. Hey, I love the verse here, and this is a verse I want you to try to memorize. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. To cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect his strength. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many of you desire some rest today? Judy, I can only imagine daycare, Christmas coming up, and everything else. We need rest. Jesus has his arms wide open to each one of us, and he's telling you, as his children, come to me, all of you who are burdened and weary, and I will give you rest. Maybe it's a big decision that you need to make, and you're wearied and worried about it. Come to me, all you who are worried and weary. Come to me, all of you who are tired. Come to me, all of you who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Teenagers today worry about much more than what we ever had to. Come to me, Jesus is telling you guys. Come to me if you're burdened and weary, and I will give you rest. And sometimes coming to him is just letting go and dropping into his arms, trusting that that Savior will catch you. He says, take upon my yoke. He wants to walk alongside you. That's the way a yoke works. The two animals, they would always take a mature, strong animal and hook it up with some weak animal that wasn't really pulling much, but would teach him. And that big animal would pull the yoke by themselves, basically, and the little one would get used to following along. That's what Jesus is telling us. Come here, I'll pull the load. Just go next to me. Come on, I'll take care of you. Just come alongside of me. Take my yoke upon you. I want to help you. I love the story of the man from Korea that was carrying all his possessions from one town to another. You know, this poor man had lost everything. And he carried a big backpack of all his stuff. The Jeep pulled up and the guy, the driver, said, hey, can we give you a ride to the next town? He said, certainly. So he jumped up in the back of the Jeep and they took off. And as the driver turned around, the man was standing there with all his load on his back, carrying and bouncing around. And the guy said, well, why don't you sit down? He said, well, I thought the Jeep could handle me, but I wasn't sure about my baggage. Well, that's Jesus today saying, come to me. He wants to take not only you, but he wants to take your baggage. He wants to take your burden. He wants to take your worries. He wants to take the stress. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Can you think of a better reason than as believers to have that joy of rest and that peace? It's hard to share Christ with somebody else when you're more worried than they are. You should come to Jesus. He'll help you. No, come to Jesus. When you're working along, that person that has the same lifestyle as you is burdened and everything, and you're not, guess what? You're going to be attractive to them to want to know what you have. Yes, I've given it to Jesus. I don't worry about things I have no control over. Things I do, I ask for them for strength to do them and get them done. 1 John 3:19. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence is when we receive that peace that can only come from God. So finally, the big question for you this morning. If you are tired and weary from trying to do something on your own, why don't you fall into the arms of your Savior and find rest? Take a deep breath and rest. Trust that God, who says he will take care of you, trust that God, who knows what's going on in your life, trust God, who wants to be there with you, trust that he will be and that he is. Take a deep breath and listen to what God says when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened.